If you're going through an MBA program right now or about to, chances are you would like words of advice on some aspect. Getting in, getting the interview, getting through the tough spots. I'm Diana Jordan with MBA Podcaster, and in this show, we will get advice from MBA grads, like Chad Troutwine, a graduate from Yale Graduate School of Management and the co-founder of Veritas Prep.
The happiest, most successful MBA students tended to distinguish themselves by developing a reputation among their classmates for being selfless and hardworking. Those two traits will serve anyone well in an MBA program.
And Andrea Wenner, a recent grad from Columbia Business School who founded Out to Play, an organization dedicated to building and refurbishing city playgrounds while she was still in the MBA program at Columbia.
It was interesting to me how helpful the alumni network was, which I'm not sure that I really anticipated before I went to school.
Roy Young is the chief revenue officer and the co-author of Marketing Champions.
You have to find a purpose and you have to find something that you're going to enjoy doing.
Marquise Parker is a recent MBA grad from Stanford, now a first-year associate at McKinsey & Company, and he writes a blog to give other MBA students advice.
Set high goals for yourself. If you set low goals, you'll probably meet them all and eventually get bored. If you're always setting higher and higher goals, it gives you something else to aspire to.
And we'll hear from Bob Harding, a senior vice president at Pacific Continental Bank, who went on a wild adventure with his MBA colleagues from George Fox University.
We spent 3 days out in a remote fortress called Ariau, where we were able to see nature and take lots of hikes and do team building projects out in the actual Amazon jungle, 30 minutes up the river in a remote location.
Support for MBA Podcaster comes from Veritas Prep, one of the world's leading GMAT test preparation and admissions consulting providers. Everything about the Veritas Prep GMAT course has been designed to enable students to confidently approach the exam with a deep understanding of the material, not with tricks or devices for merely surviving the GMAT. And Veritas Prep's thorough curriculum is just the beginning. Only people who have scored in the 99th percentile on an actual GMAT exam are even considered for an instructor position with the company, and every new instructor must complete over 100 hours of training before leading a class. Veritas Prep's MBA admissions consulting services feature head consultants who have formerly served as admissions officers, application readers, and interviewers at the world's top MBA programs. MBA Podcaster listeners receive a $150 discount on any Veritas Prep GMAT course, private tutoring, or admissions consulting school package by registering with the code POD150. Learn more at veritasprep.com.
Let's start out with Chad Troutwine, the Yale MBA grad and co-founder of Veritas Prep.
One thing I heard was that you struggled a little bit in school at first, and then something shifted. If that's true, what happened for you?
Yeah, that is true. I've always done well on standardized exams. I score in the 99th percentile on everything from the ACT and SAT to the LSAT and the GMAT. But at different points in my academic career, I've failed to meet my own expectations for what my grades should be like. And that was certainly the case in my first semester at Yale. Yale has a modified version of pass-fail. So it wasn't that I was in danger of failing out, but they also offer distinctions to students in the top percent of any particular class. And as I recall, I didn't get a single distinction my first semester. I certainly wasn't heartbroken about it. I was surrounded by some of the brightest students that I'd ever met during my entire academic career. And I certainly wasn't so arrogant to think that I deserved top grades across the board. But I redoubled my efforts and was able to, earn 7 class distinctions out of my 20 classes at Yale before I graduated. And part of the reason why I was able to do that was a very specific shift in the way I approached my coursework. And to some extent, it's a reflection of my ability to select classes that played to my strengths in my second year. When students are in college at the undergraduate level, it is great advice for almost everyone to be as well-rounded as possible when selecting courses. I just don't think that anyone is well-served by sticking to just one subject area, for example. For me, I went into my MBA program thinking that the fact that I, as an attorney, had already gone through a rigorous program. I usually have done well on any essay-based coursework, and I'd done very, very well in the GMAT. that that alone would be enough for me to simply put in a sort of standard amount of time and be rewarded with good grades. For MBA students that are interested in getting good grades, I can say this. MBA programs are very quantitative, maybe much more so than people would be led to believe by simply reviewing the catalogs or looking at the material online. If a student is uncomfortable with math, the manipulation of numbers, the MBA program can be an excruciating experience. That doesn't mean that it's not rewarding for those people who aren't naturally gifted with numbers. In fact, it's quite the opposite. It can be a real revelation and an incredibly satisfying experience, I think, for people who don't have a deep quantitative background to grasp and understand all these new tools. It really opens up a whole new world, even for people who aren't interested in pursuing a career that will have them manipulating numbers in some way as their sort of day-to-day responsibility.
The competition can be tough.
I underestimated how hard some of my classmates would work, but I really underestimated the depth of their background. When someone starts an MBA program, they will be surrounded by people who have been working as investment bankers, people at top consultancies for the last several years. Much of the work will be very easy for those students. For those of us that came from a very different kind of career path, in my case, it was as an entrepreneur and real estate developer, I was all of a sudden surrounded with people who had a leg up on me and some of my other classmates. We had to work a little bit harder to compensate for it, but it can be done.
Bob Harding, the senior VP at Pacific Continental Bank, has some advice.
What words of advice would you have for a student in any MBA program?
If you're thinking about getting your MBA, do it. I think the most difficult part is to make the commitment and get the program started. Once you're in, then the benefit is to nurture and build your team. These are going to be contacts that you're going to utilize through numerous jobs and numerous personal situations for the rest of your life. So learn and understand your other MBA students.
And sometimes you go way outside the box.
Tell me about the Amazon connection, because I want to see how that all fits in.
Well, George Fox, I was working with the management there to look at international exchange program, and we decided to settle in Brazil. We had a passion for the Brazil market, and so we were the first international exchange students that went over to Campinas for a week-long exchange program, built great relationships, learned a lot. And I was able to take 13 of the MBA students and extend our trip to the Amazon region of Brazil and on to Rio de Janeiro for an extra week. So we had a fantastic two-week team-building learning experience where the relationships and the depth of intimacy, getting to know other aspirations and desires, is absolutely fantastic.
So were you out in the wilderness? And
yeah.
What kind of... Okay, so tell me about that.
We spent 3 days out in a remote fortress called Ariaú, where we were able to see nature and take lots of hikes and do team building projects out in the actual Amazon jungle, 30 minutes up the river in a remote location. And I think some of the monkeys and the snakes and the bats and the bees, and we did a lot of excursions on little boats, and we caught piranhas and caught crocodile, and we went deep into the rainforest and learned how to survive off the land. And it was just a fascinating time to see a part of the world that we can read about, but to do it with our teammates that we had known each other at that point for about 16 months. It's a great idea. I suggest any programs offer an international exchange option, that is a must do.
That is amazing. It sounds so extreme. Tell me about that.
One thing I loved about the MBA groups, they're all A-type, successful, outgoing people, and we sat down as a group and decided, let's do something extreme. Let's see the world, but not through the eyes of a tourist. So we planned this as a group and decided to do it in terms of the lowest amenities and to see the actual natives in their environment and not just do a surface level tour. And so it led to sitting together for months and planning it. And that's what we came up with, was a 3-day Amazon trip coupled with a 7-day trip across the country to Rio de Janeiro. And that was all planned by the students.
So how did this extreme adventure impact your MBA skills in real life afterwards?
We were able to see so much more being outside of the country for 2 weeks and listening to the views of the Brazilians. But it opened up our minds. It opened up our minds to increase our focus. And I saw that in a lot of my cohort, just really seeing the world from a different perspective for the first time.
What I'm sitting here thinking is, you've been surrounded by monkeys and piranhas and all those kind of extreme animals you find in that kind of adventure, and now you're working in a bank. That's about 180 degrees.
Yeah. Well, you know, bankers are conservative, and a little bit of an odd banker. I enjoy to have fun, and I enjoy outdoors and activities, and that's why I think about the banking industry is absolute gold mine for opportunities. It's not the old suit and tie banking world that it was maybe 10, 15 years ago. With the changes in the mergers, financial institutions now need to look at niche marketing.
For an entirely different perspective, let's turn to Andrea Winner, who sensed a need for inner city kids to have playgrounds and worked through her MBA program to create Out to Play. She's identified 225 sites. A total of 15 playgrounds will be finished by the summer of 2007. Basically, you have married what you learned in your MBA program with a dream of yours, right?
Yeah, I would say so. I think I applied a lot of the skills that I had learned there and used the coursework and the extracurricular programming to help me develop this business plan and to reach out to people in the business community and get feedback on it and get help in getting it launched and go with it, really.
So what words of advice would you have for people in the MBA program, no matter where they may be, who might have an inkling of an idea and want to see it to fruition?
Especially at Columbia, and I'm sure this true of many other schools, there are a lot of resources available to you, and you should really take advantage of those as much as possible. There are people that you can talk to just about your idea to get a sense of whether it's viable and could be successful, and then there are people that can help you take the initial steps to get it off the ground. And I think that while you're there, it's really an unusual environment, and you should make the most of it, because once you're out, you know, those resources won't be as readily available.
How did you even know where to start, Andrea?
I had a fair amount of guidance from my professors at Columbia who, you know, when I initially presented the idea, they helped me to think about some other ways of going about it, and they helped put me in touch with different people that they knew of that, you know, may have been involved in similar endeavors. And I just started talking to people, and I did a lot of research. I created the plan. And then once I was pretty confident in the plan itself, then I started to talk to people about it and figure out how I wanted to modify it and move forward. The business plan provided a great kind of roadmap of what I was doing and helped me to solidify my thoughts and ideas that were, you know, previously just kind of been floating around in my head.
It sounds as though there's some lessons buried in your endeavor here to, first of all, sense that there's a need and then design it. And I read somewhere that you actually appeal to an organization that usually deals with for-profit enterprises, and you were able to excite them about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that there are a lot of lessons in it. I mean, I think one of the biggest things for me was just, you know, you have this business plan and you have this so-called roadmap, but nothing follows that plan exactly, and you have to be willing to power through whatever setbacks might arise and be flexible with the plan. When doors get shut, you got to figure out ways to open up new doors if you're going to continue on.
That sense of fortitude, did you learn that in school, or did it come in your hardwire?
I think it came a bit in my hardwire, to be honest with you, though the school environment definitely enhances that to some extent. You know, I was in a class with a number of other people that were also launching their own businesses, and so that sense of community and encouragement from other people that were going through the same struggles as I was certainly very, very helpful and, you know, really encouraging.
Chad Troutwine, what secrets did you discover as you went from MBA student to life?
I don't know that I've uncovered any real secrets, but I know I can summarize what I saw, the traits and characteristics I saw in the happiest, most successful MBA student. They tended to distinguish themselves by developing a reputation among their classmates for being selfless and hardworking. Those two traits will serve anyone well in an MBA program. But also, I found that most of the people that seemed to enjoy their program the most and impressed others were those that were well-rounded, had a good sense of humor about the whole thing, didn't take themselves too seriously. And it's not a coincidence those same students enjoyed themselves the most and also landed the plum jobs. So it's really a kind of holistic approach, I think, to getting the most out of an MBA program.
Roy Young, co-author of Marketing Champions. Is there a way to particularly distinguish oneself from one's colleagues while in school? A lot of it's teamwork, but then there's also a sense of how good are your grades and what can you do to really improve your product.
My philosophy about employing people and also about valuing people in an organization has been simplified over the years, and now my philosophy is there are two kinds of workers. There are what I call workers, and the other category is creators. I'm always looking for creators. I always want people who are not just doing a job, but understand that their value is based on the value they create inside the business. And I think that anyone who's entering business school ought to go to business school with that view, that is to say, to learn how they can become a great creator of value to any business or business that they're targeting.
Marquise Parker, now at McKinsey & Company, keeps a blog going to guide other MBA students. What about the day-to-day stuff? What are your words of advice on how to handle that attitude, planning, focus?
Honestly, I think it's not to let yourself get distracted from the end goal, because when you're in business school, there are a ton of things that you can get involved in, whether it's socially or organizations within school, and you know, there are a lot of different commitments that can pull at you. And I think one of the most important things is to remember why you are in school. So you can take advantage of some of those things that some might call distractions, but don't let that take you away from the track that you were in when you matriculated. So you go to class, do your readings, participate, learn as much as you can, do your due diligence on your job hunt. Once you've found the right job, don't rest on your laurels. Keep on building up the sorts of experience and knowledge that you need to be able to do well once you get out into the real world. Because it's a whole different situation once you walk across that stage and get your diploma. You know, the real world comes back, and it comes back really quickly.
Chad Troutwine of Veritas.
In terms of some of the specifics for people who are pursuing, they think they've got an idea of their dream job and they want to pursue it, first, do as much research as possible. And that can include talking to others who have landed your version of your dream job before you. Any top MBA program will have a career development office that can be instrumental in that process and can help immensely. Also, do everything you can do to get into the best MBA program possible. And when I say best, that's the best for you, and that's a combination of the rankings, geography, the kinds of schools that would nurture and foster your dreams, as it were. Diligently prepare for the job by not only learning as much as possible about the job, but preparing for the interview. We had candidates in my MBA program who were probably indistinguishable from some of the other members of the class, save one thing. They nailed the job interview. Students should not take that part of the process lightly. They should call up everything they have inside them, find that fire in the belly, have it kind of pour out of them honestly, and let that passion for their dream job come through in the interview. And be flexible, not only in terms of you know, industry and career, but maybe location. Again, that dream job is always evolving.
Chad has always been dedicated to the entrepreneurial path and has a broad view of what that upbeat, engaged spirit can create.
I just want people to know that are interested in a career path like mine. I'd already had a law degree. I was already very happy in my entrepreneurial career path. An MBA program can be a wonderful place to learn new skills, to develop networks, and to maybe find out ways to tap into larger pools of money and equity and institutional dollars, the kinds of things that can help an entrepreneur take a small idea and create something very, very big. A future entrepreneur would be very well served to consider an MBA as the right kind of opportunity, a way to step out of the business world for a couple of years, but to learn skills and develop relationships that will last a lifetime.
Turning to our bank vice president, Bob Harding, would you call this your dream job?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I feel empowered to create an environment that clients want to come into the bank and employees want to work here.
Wow. So did you have this job before you got your MBA?
No. I received this job 6 months after starting the MBA program as a direct result of my confidence, and the curriculum allowed me to develop a job description, and I was able to meet with the management of the bank and implement some of those changes. So the MBA program got me started thinking about an ideal job, and it gave me the confidence and the skills needed to be a better leader and guide the company through a growth strategy.
So there's got to be some words of wisdom there for other MBA candidates. What would you tell them?
When you're doing your projects, your case studies, and your MBA work, find out where your passion is at. Is your passion in leading? Is it a passion in assisting with nonprofits? is your passion in financial management. Go towards your passion and your job success will follow. That's the advice that I give, is go to your passion. In the MBA program, your passions will come out. Is it being a leader? Is it crunching numbers? Is it underwriting loans? Is it acquisitions and mergers? And guide yourself to a job that uses those skills as opposed to just doing something that maybe has better benefits or a higher salary.
Andrea Winter has created playgrounds for kids where there was nothing.
What are your best ideas for achieving what you want in life post-MBA?
You have to have a clear sense of knowing what you want, first of all, and not getting caught up in what, you know, what everybody else might be doing, or I guess to some extent in what the degree might be able to get you in terms of salary or position or whatever the case may be, because in some cases, you know, that might not be what's really going to make you happy. So just figuring out and having a clear sense of what it is that you want, and then using, you know, the people that you've met and your friends and the network that's available to you to get to that place.
Roy Young, the co-author of Marketing Champions, has a creative way of conceptualizing Andrea's thoughts.
What advice do you have for students, then, who are in the middle of the program, perhaps, in terms of these ideas that you're talking about?
Well, I think they ought to start writing their storybook. I think they ought to start writing a story of how they become business owners. When I say create your own stories, try to write up the narrative of your work. So, for example, when you're thinking about your resume, and you're thinking about updating your resume, what is the story that you're telling around each of the experiences that you've had? So, yes, you've done X, Y, and Z at a particular organization for 1 year or 2 years. What is the story around that experience? How did it transform you? How did it transform the organization? What did you learn? What of that learning can you bring to another organization? So I think you're sort of writing the screenplay of your professional life.
Bob Harding, on your day-to-day stuff, what are your words of advice on how to handle that? Is it attitude? Is it planning? Is it focus?
Doing the right thing and having fun and enjoying what you're doing. There's too many people that don't enjoy what they do, and it shows. And I say the same to my employees. If you're not passionate and enjoy your job, it's going to show. So my advice is to find something that you enjoy and do it, because life is too short not to be enjoying every day. And don't sweat the small stuff. Look at the big picture.
Marquise Parker, what are your best ideas for achieving what you want in life post-MBA?
Set high goals for yourself. If you set low goals, you'll probably meet them all and eventually get bored. If you're always setting higher and higher goals, it gives you something else to aspire to. Getting into business school and applying for an MBA and finishing it, that's a high hurdle. The kind of people that go off and pursue an MBA are people who aspire to do big things, people who want to achieve. So I'd say continue to set lofty goals for yourself. Take advantage of the networks that are around you, because, you know, anyone who's gone to undergrad has their undergrad network. You've got your B-school network. The people you meet at industry functions or company events or different civic organizations, you never know when you'll be able to help someone else and when someone else will be able to help you. And there have been many instances where I've been able to connect people on my network for no benefit of my own, but just to help them. And I get a lot of value out of that as well. I know this may sound kind of cheesy, but just treat people right. Business is it's a relationship environment. And if you do someone wrong, chances are that will not be forgotten. And it can have very bad effects on your career as you move on through time. So I definitely recommend treating people right in whatever situation you're in. Even if it's a bad situation, you know, say you're in a company and you didn't enjoy what you did, at least try and maintain the friendships and relationships that you have, because you never know when you need to lean on those people again for something else.
Andrea Winter, what's your best hope for your project?
My best hope is that in about 6 years' time that we will have completed all the playgrounds that need renovation in New York City and essentially wrap up the program, at least in New York.
What stage are you at right now?
We finished our first site last summer, and we are building 14 more this spring and summer.
What's that do for you?
It's exciting. The first one was really amazing. Seeing the kids when they first ran out to it was a great sense of accomplishment and, you know, really a nice reward. And now we've got these next 14, and the schools are really excited about them, and the students are very excited. And I think these ones are going to be progressively better and better. We've refined our design process to some extent and have a lot of creative ideas in this next grouping of them. So it's exciting.
Bob Harding, what do you hope students, take away from your experiences during the classroom times and then after?
That the most important part of the MBA is the teamwork and the contacts that you make, because you go in depth with these people. You know these people better than your spouse or your boss for this two-year period. And cherish that and utilize that, because these are the people that will answer your questions and help you solve your lifelong problems. And we have gone from our group from loss of life to family to giving life to job changes, and we've been there to support each other. So my advice is grow relationships and spend time investing, because it will reap rewards in the future. And get a view of the world outside of your current circle. Do the international exchange. Focus internationally and be open to adjust your views.
Marquise Parker wraps it up. What is your best hope for MBA students and graduates as they get into their post-MBA life?
There's a large investment of time, effort, blood, sweat, tears, money that goes into the MBA experience. So my hope is that people put in the time to get the most out of their time in business school, and then that they get the most out of it afterwards, that they, you know, try and do as much as they can, try and help as many people as they can. You know, you're in a good position when you come out of business school, and you got a chance to do a lot of things that a lot of other folks don't have. So I just hope people take advantage of that.
And Roy Young, what are your best ideas for achieving what you want in life post-MBA?
You have to find a purpose, and you have to find something that you're going to enjoy doing. And once again, it's cliched, but it's going to make you more effective at what you're doing. It's ultimately going to give you purpose. It's going to make you happy.
Support for MBA Podcaster comes from Veritas Prep, one of the world's leading GMAT test preparation and admissions consulting providers. Everything about the Veritas Prep GMAT course has been designed to enable students to confidently approach the exam with a deep understanding of the material, not with tricks or devices for merely surviving the GMAT. And Veritas Prep's thorough curriculum is just the beginning. Only people who have scored in the 99th percentile on an actual GMAT exam are even considered for an instructor position with the company. And every new instructor must complete over 100 hours of training before leading a class. Veritas Prep's MBA admissions consulting services feature head consultants who have formerly served as admissions officers, application readers, and interviewers at the world's top MBA programs. MBA Podcaster listeners receive a $150 discount on any Veritas Prep GMAT course, private tutoring, or admissions consulting school package by registering with the code POD150. Learn more at veritasprep.com.
For more information, advice, and to register for your biweekly MBA podcast, visit MBAPodcaster.com. I'm Diana Jordan with MBA Podcaster. Thanks for listening. Next time, we explore understanding the various MBA tracks, such as finance, strategy, marketing, or operations, and what it means for an MBA grad after graduation. Stay tuned.